So our passage today is John chapter 5. So if you have a church Bible, it's page 1069. John chapter 5, and starting to read at verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Father, as Tim comes to speak to us, would you open our hearts and minds, illuminate your word to us, and speak to us, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Matthias, the son of Azariah, and I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I was inducted into the Pharisees 2 years ago. I've been seconded to the Division for the Keeping of the Peace, and I've been working there for the past 7 months. My specific task is to keep a critical eye on the one they call Jesus of Nazareth. And I stand here before you, the Sanhedrin, to give my incident report relating to a conversation that took place 3 days ago in Jerusalem at the Pool of Bethesda, just near the Sheep Gate. Now, I wasn't actually there when the incident happened, but I was there for the aftermath. It quickly became apparent why all the commotion arose. He had healed one of the invalids that sit around the Pool of Bethesda. I mean, now, you know, to you and me, it's quite clear in the law that the Sabbath is for rest and not for work. I mean, so quite why he thought he'd get away with it, I don't know. But the incident was just the start. Our esteemed colleagues over at the Department for the Compliance of the Laws were sent over to speak with this Jesus to put some pressure on him, rough him up a little bit, make sure he never does anything like that again. So they went down and went in heavy with their questions and their condemnations and their mutterings and their malicious looks, as we know, of course, that they do. I arrived on the scene just after them, sent to represent the Division for the Keeping of the Peace. And I could overhear our fellow Jewish leaders questioning him good and proper. This will be fine, I thought. Easy afternoon for me. Our fellow Jewish leaders will do all the work that I was sent to do. No one ever dares go the full 12 rounds with them. And so I was astounded. I was astounded when I heard that quiet, unassuming, that somehow supremely confident voice answering them back. Answering them back. The crowd had gathered slow, slowly turned silent as everyone sort of drew in breath. No one ever answers these Jewish leaders back. They're the ones sent to do the heavy leaning when someone's got to be silenced. When someone's got to be shut up, closed down. But here's this guy, Jesus, answering them back. I mean, he's beginning to make a bit of a habit of this, isn't he? This Jesus of Nazareth, always ready to backchat the powerful people. I mean, I'm increasingly wondering whether he's got some kind of death wish or something. Get to the point. Do you know what? I mean, the thing is with this Jesus is that, he just seems to have some kind of magnetism. You just kind of have to stop and stare sometimes. But I'll get back to the point. Where was I? Oh, yeah, that's right. He answered back. He was answering back. But when he started talking, he was just sounding like he was talking about, his supposed father. You know the chap, this Joseph up in Nazareth. I mean, now we all know the rumors about his father, don't we? His mother's fantastical story about an angel, the divorce that never quite happened for whatever reason. I mean, there's no smoke without fire, I always say. But as to his sonship, it was a very strange way to start. He seemed to be talking about his apprenticeship as a carpenter with this supposed father of his, Joseph of Nazareth. I mean, we all know how apprenticeships work. A son does nothing by himself. The son does nothing by himself, obviously, and only does what he sees the father doing. Clearly, Jesus is reminiscing about his young carpentry days. Whatever the father does, the son does too. Yeah, I mean, Jesus, we know how that works. All apprenticeships work like this. You know, I know. Evidently, Jesus' father loved him and so agreed to show him what goes on in the workshop. Nothing strange there. Except, of course, this Jesus of Nazareth had just been accused of making himself, and get this, making himself equal with God. Equal with God. So amidst the initial confusion of what on earth Jesus was on about, it soon became clear. He wasn't talking about Joseph. But he dared to be talking about God. I mean, this was lunacy to the point of blasphemy. Here, this Jesus of Nazareth, this from that backwater town up where it's wholly unsurprising that his parenthood is disputed. I mean, claims he's done his apprenticeship under the Lord our God. Under the one God of the whole world. I mean, no wonder you here at the Sanhedrin sent in the heavies. I mean, did you know he was going to say this? I mean, because we know, don't we, that anyone who tries to set themselves up in any way divine comes under the curse of breaking the law. For we Jews know, if we know anything at all, that there is only one God, one Lord, our God. All the others are just pretenders to his throne. So what this Jesus was saying was just begging for trouble. But at the same time, I mean, his words weren't like those others we've had to deal with in the past, you know, pretending to be sent from God, thinking of themselves as sort of like under gods. I mean, you remember the chap who thought he was a boiled egg. Goodness me. Anyway, I mean, I'm getting distracted. But Jesus' words had some sort of authority to them. I mean, he wasn't raving mad. It was just like he was calmly explaining something that he'd always seemed to know. Forever and a day. And there was almost too much detail for him to really be making it all up. The son doesn't do anything of himself, only what the father shows him. The son does what the father does because the father has loved the son so much that he does show him everything that he's up to. And isn't it kind of what we've been waiting for? Someone who comes from God. I mean, there's been a really long silence since some of those prophets of old, and some of them we revere today. I mean, they were far crazier than this Jesus chap. I mean, it's for you to decide, of course. I mean, you to decide. You're the Sanhedrin. I mean, you're the ones who act on behalf of God for his people. But there was just something there. I mean, we know that anyone claiming to do what only God does is claiming that they're as great as God himself. But Jesus wasn't really claiming greatness. He was claiming obedience and submission. Not what your normal, run-of-the-mill, man with a Messiah complex usually claims. And there's something else about this Jesus chap that just makes me wonder. Just makes me wonder whether his claim to be one with God doesn't actually show me something a bit more about who this God is, rather than setting himself up as a rival for God's throne. But then, of course, all this was shattered when Jesus said that whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I mean, by this time, we all kind of knew that when he said Son, he was kind of talking about himself. And at this claim, I mean, our colleagues over in the Department for the Compliance of the Laws, they nearly lost their heads. I mean, surely this Jesus doesn't consider Abraham and Moses and David and Elijah all lost because they didn't honor Jesus as the Son, as God. I mean, surely Jesus is simply a fool for thinking that we, the Jewish leaders, that you, the Sanhedrin, would be taken in. I mean, the scriptures are clear. David, Moses, Abraham, Elijah, all messages from God, absolutely, all ambassadors, yes, but none of them claimed any kind of honor that was equal to that which only God deserves. I mean, you know, this must surely put the matter out of court. This Jesus is a madman. And yet, as I consider these ludicrous words of this lunatic Jesus of Nazareth, I mean, something just doesn't fit. Something kind of pokes and prods my conscience. I mean, is it not also true that many refuse to acknowledge the words of Isaiah, the words of Jeremiah, the words of Micah and Nahum? Didn't many refuse to acknowledge their words as the word of the Lord to them in that day? And as such, I mean, didn't many who thought that they were actually honoring God end up in exile for their unbelief? Was there not only a remnant that believed these whom we now call the messengers of God? These prophets whose feet are beautiful, for they brought the word of God to us. And are we ourselves, even here in the Sanhedrin, are we not longing for some word from our God after decades, after centuries of silence? Surely we dare not presume that God cannot do a new thing. Surely we ourselves aren't dishonoring God by ignoring this Jesus and sticking to our laws and traditions. Can this Jesus really be that deluded to think that we'd not see through him in an instant? I mean, why is he even attempting to convince us that he's God's son? Unless, of course, he's actually telling the truth. Oh, yes, no, yeah, no, you're right. I'm sorry. I'll keep to the facts. Yes, no, my own musings, yeah, you don't need to hear them. Far be it from me, only a junior in our great company of the Sanhedrin. I mean, hardly worthy even to contemplate these things with you. Honour to be called to give this report. Yes, absolutely, I'll stick to the facts. You know, it's all for you to decide. Absolutely right, yeah, okay. Right, where was I? Yes, no, now, yes, absolutely. I was beginning to think that there might be something to this Jesus. Something that I hadn't seen before. But then he went and compounded his problems. Compounding them by claiming that the work the Father is doing is raising the dead and giving them life. Well, that's all very well and good. I can see it in your faces. That's what you're all thinking. We know that on the last day, the Lord God will raise everyone to life. in order to face judgment. And that God's people, us Jews, and especially those of us who've made sure we keep pure in these dangerous times, in these sinful days with the Romans constantly tempting us to commit adultery by worshipping their gods, especially us, who've kept the nation pure by making sure they don't go anywhere near the laws, by making sure they have all these regulations. Yeah, I mean, God's people, us Jews, on the last day, we're going to be raised to life. And God will finally judge the nations. God will finally judge our enemies for invading us, for taking the promised land. Well, of course, if you think that Jesus is now becoming a bit more kosher, you've clearly not been listening to my report. This Jesus fellow didn't just say that what the Father was doing, but that this is what therefore he himself was doing. That this Jesus had authority to give life to whomever he pleases. I mean, really, what is this guy drinking? I mean, does all of his water turn into wine? He was standing just 3 feet away from me. I mean, he was a human. He's a man. I mean, he's flesh and blood, just like you and I. And he thinks he has authority over life and death. Well, we have authority over his life and death. More than this, I mean, Jesus even claimed he had life in himself. Life in himself. I mean, astounding to kind of consider how shameless his claims have become. Only God, who created the world and everything in it, has life in himself and the authority to give life and to take it away. Now and at the end of days, when the people of God are resurrected. It's almost as if Jesus is believing those rumors about himself. I mean, that he was right there with God in the beginning when everything was created. He was right there with God in glory and is now showing it to us. I mean, these ridiculous rumors, I mean, I don't know who starts them. it's not as though Jesus is God's word in the flesh. I mean, really, is it? Goodness. Quite frankly, how we contained ourselves, I don't know. I mean, perhaps only because we from the Division of the Keeping of the Peace and those from the Department for the Compliance of the Laws realized that if we could just get down what he was saying and present it to you, the Sanhedrin, I mean, he'd be dead within a week. Dead within a week. And if you sitting here on the Sanhedrin can just see fit to kind of get it done before Passover, all the much more better. But do you know what? The rest of the crowd, those peasant Jews who just don't really know what's good for them, I couldn't quite believe how they just soaked everything in, everything he was saying. It seemed as though they began to glow as he spoke with some kind of divine hope and light. All the more as they took in what this Jesus was saying. And we, slowly boiling with our righteous anger on behalf of the one true God of Israel, felt like we were slowly receding into the shadows. I mean, this Jesus, frankly, can you believe it? He made things a lot more worse even from here on in. I mean, I know that it's hard to believe, but you just wait and hear what he said next. This Jesus said, and I'm pretty sure he actually believes it. This Jesus said, the time is coming, and in fact a time has already come, when those who hear Jesus' voice, hear what he's saying, believe him when he says that he's sent from God, will pass over from death to life. I know. He actually said, not only is he equal with God, not only is he sent by God, but that anyone who listens to him will move from death to life. More than that, he said that now the time is that that's going to happen. It's going to happen now. I mean, what did he think? What did he think was going to happen there and then? Would we all be born again, crawl back into our mother's wombs? I mean, you know how we've rightly ostracized poor old Nicodemus, who seems to have gone a bit strange since speaking with this Jesus chap and now claiming that he finally has ears to hear what Jesus is actually saying. Well, you know what? I heard enough. I've got ears that can hear. And I heard only a load of half hints that seem to suggest that Jesus thinks he's got some kind of authority over life and death. But we know, don't we? Only God has that kind of authority. We know it from Ezekiel's vision, don't we, in the valley of the dry bones. Only when the dead hear the voice of God will they rise on the last day. That day set aside for judgment of the nations, the judgment of these Romans and the Babylonians and the Assyrians before them, our enemies. Then we'll see justice done. Then we'll see justice done. And yet, that does seem to be what Jesus is claiming. That he's actually telling the truth. That he actually is the Son of God. And his manner is like nothing I've seen before. He's not your typical crazy. He's got some kind of authority. Some kind of... I just can't quite put my finger on it. No, of course not. No, I don't want to join Nicodemus. No. Yes, no, I'm sorry. I'll keep to the facts. I'm sorry you, Sanhedrin, think that I sound like I believe in Jesus. I can assure you that I'm as certain of his blasphemy as anyone else. No, I take your point. Yeah, even Nicodemus can be deceived into following this Jesus, I need to be very careful where I place my steps too. Yeah, back to the facts. Just the facts. Absolutely. So this Jesus, then, was actually claiming to have a kind of authority that only God has over life and death. That there will actually be a time when all those who are in their graves will rise when they hear his voice. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? When they hear the voice of this Jesus calling, they'll rise from the dead. I mean, he even said that he was the Son of Man. That mysterious figure in the prophecy of Daniel. I mean, we know it well. The wonderful passage where the heavenly court is presiding and God's decisive word of judgment is pronounced upon that evil beast. Jesus actually thinks he's the Son of Man. The one who receives all the divine authority and power and glory from the Lord Almighty, the Ancient of Days, Yahweh, Israel's only God. He actually thinks it. Sanhedrin, this must really be the final nail for this Jesus, insinuating that he's been given authority over life and death of all, even death obeys his voice and hands over the dead to him. That even here has the kind of authority that only God has, the authority to judge. Some to life and some to condemnation. And the key to all of this, according to this Jesus from that backwater peasant town of Nazareth, the key, apparently, if you hear his voice and believe that he's been sent from God, then there's no judgment for you. You've crossed from death into life. And you know what? When I heard that, I must admit, I mean, that's the kind of hope we've been waiting for, isn't it? I mean, that's the kind of hope we've been waiting for all these years. Some are saying that he might be the Messiah. I mean, and I can see what they mean. I mean, could any of us here in the Sanhedrin dare really act like he does? Act with such authority as to heal a man? Could any of us dare to say such things as this Jesus has been saying? And to be able to say them with such authority? I mean, surely this Jesus at least comes from God. And if he comes from God, then, I mean, he can't blaspheme, can he? I mean, maybe Nicodemus is right about him. Maybe he is the one we've been waiting for. But you're right. Your arguments are right. No, obviously not. No, I mean, it is just a little too absurd, and it is just a little bit too good to be true. Yeah, I have ears and I can hear, and I did hear Jesus call himself God's son. I heard this Jesus take on himself the kind of authority to judge, the power over life and death, the kind of authority that's reserved, really, I mean, it's only for God. I mean, I don't really need to tell you, do I? I mean, it's clear. And I'm certain I've not missed the point. He claims he's God. And that's blasphemy. And of course, I mean, you know, we can go back before then. We remember the incident that set this whole thing off. He healed on the Sabbath. I mean, doesn't he know that God gave us these laws and that they should be kept? I mean, if God wanted us to heal on the Sabbath, wouldn't he wouldn't have told us not to do any work. I mean, what is it that this Jesus values more? Restoring a cripple to the community or obeying the proper safeguards that we've put in place to make sure no one gets anywhere near working on God's day of rest? I mean, why doesn't this Jesus obey our laws? So, my recommendation to the Sanhedrin... Is that you? Yeah, you want that next? Okay, I mean, deal with this Jesus soon. Deal with this Jesus soon, before it's too late. He deserves death. And we do need some kind of back-channel agreement with the Romans, so that can happen pretty quickly. Because we do need to do it quickly. I mean, because I can't get that image of his followers out of my mind. Those followers of his, hearing every word as if it were the words of life itself. Glowing more and more, and when they left, it was almost as if they were walking in light. Whilst we of the Division for the Keeping of the Peace and our esteemed colleagues over there in the Department for the Compliance of the Laws appeared like we were just left in the shadows. I mean, something's got to happen. Because unless you do something, they're going to do something. We've got to deal with this bunch of light-filled followers hanging on every word that Jesus says, obedient to their Jesus, this Son of God. Get rid of him, they'll flee. We've got to snuff out their light. Well, actually, in fact, hasn't it gone actually quite dark in here? Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, it's so dark, we're pretty much walking in darkness, aren't we now?